I want to thank everyone for coming, everyone who's live, and everyone who's joining virtually. And especially yashar koach to David Markowitz for having this idea and for making this happen and for partnering with Aaron Ross and making sure this would come together. Al tzara yosef tov. Thank you so, so much. If you're looking, if you're in search for how to be a better person, for how to be a better Jew, for how to be a better Eved Hashem, so the sefer that you have in your hands is really dynamite. The sefer Mesillas Yesharim that you have in your hands is an exceptional toolkit for figuring out how to grow. But we might ask ourselves, do I really need this? Mesillas Yesharim is going to ask, in the opening, in his introduction, he's going to ask, do I need the sefer? And he's going to ask, why do I need the sefer? Which, and we're going to open up in a moment, and we'll see the way in which he asks this question in the guise of a sort of how to use this book type of introduction that many sfarim have and many books have. In the guise of how to use this sefer, he's really going to be asking the larger questions. He's really going to be asking, do I need to grow? I'm from, I keep halacha. I'm a good guy. So I'm good. So I'm good. This whole growing business, where does this come from? Well, what does that have to do with Judaism? Well, what does that have to do with, you know, like meat and potatoes, 613 mitzvahs? And that essentially is the goal of the introduction to Mesillas Yesharim in asking why we need this sefer, why we need this handbook for growth. He's really going to be answering those questions. So let's take a look inside. And his opening paragraph is an exceptional example of understatement, of humility and understatement. And his opening paragraph is, don't expect too much from the sefer. Amar Machaber. I didn't write the sefer to teach you things you don't know. You open the sefer, you're expecting chidushim, you got the wrong sefer. The goal of the sefer is really just to remind you of the things you already know. Remind you of the things that everyone knows. And at first glance, that sounds like a real turnoff. So why am I looking at the sefer? These are all things I know. Kilo simsa barov dvarai. He says most of what you're going to find in the sefer, people tend to know. People, it's self-evident. But you want the sefer. In direct proportion to the extent to which everyone knows the things I'm going to tell you. Loads of people know the ideas, most of the ideas I'm going to share. But so few people actually follow through, and so few people actually execute. We forget. We ignore. These are ideas that are in the back of our minds, but they're not part of our day-to-day functioning. In other words, a lot of growth is not going to be sort of these esoteric ideas I never came across. It's in my lap. It's right here. Kikar ve'elach ha'davar ma'od, but I need to take ideas that are well-known Torah ideas and put them to work. And that's why he says, understand that learning the sefer once may be exciting. I'll come across a few ideas, but the to'elas ha'nilkat min ha'sefer, the real payoff, what you can achieve with the sefer, it's not going to come from just reading it once. He says, lo yimsa kor bi'atzma achar kriyas chidushim shal yibol lefnei kriyas elamat. If you check your mind, that's how many of the editions have. You'll check your seichel after having read sort of like the before and after picture, before you learn the Mesillas Yesharim for the first time, after you learn the Mesillas Yesharim for the first time. There won't be that many new ideas in your brain. I knew a lot of this. The to'elas yetzim in achazara lava hasmada. I'm really going to gain from seeing a piece of Mesilas Sharm and then coming back to it. Both Chazara and Hasmada. He deals a lot with pairs of ideas and pairs of words. Coming back to again and again and making it something consistent. Not just a flash in the pan, I came across this great idea, then it fizzled out. But I came back to it again. I circled back with more maturity. And I kept at it. Yizachu lo advar ma'el neshkachem b'nei adam b'teva. Ideas that we're going to be coming across are ideas that we know, but we tend to forget. And if we look at the Sefer and look to it again and again, the ideas that we know become ideas that we use. They become ideas that aren't just in the back of my mind, but really shape the way I think. And he goes on so he's already telling us that, again, these are ideas in our backyard. These are not foreign ideas. These are ideas that we know, but we're going to look at the same Torah with new eyes. And we're going to take ideas we'll come across and put them into new perspective. And then he takes a step back and says, I want to think about the following sociological phenomenon. I want to think about the following phenomenon we find in society. He says, let's talk about smart people. Let's talk about intelligent people. We all like to think that we're intelligent people. V'tirim tizboin behove berov ha'olam. Look at the way things tend to roll. Rov anshe ha'sechel ha'mahir v'ha'pikchem ha'charifim. If you're sharp, if you're smart, if you're quick, what do you think about? Where do you invest your brain power? Yosim rov hizbonanam hiztaklusam v'dakus ha'chachmos v'omaka yunim. You have something deep, something profound, something analytic, something that you're curious about. Different people have different tastes. Ish ish kefina tia sichlo v'chishko hativi. And he says, look around. Different people are excited about different things. Some people are fascinated by science. Yesh yitruchu me'od b'mechkar habriya v'hateva. Some people are interested in abstract science. Acherim yitnu kol yunum l'tchuna l'handasa. Others are interested in engineering. Acherim l'malachos. Other people may be interested in something more practical. Maybe he meant the craft, and maybe we might say business. Different people have different, there's so many fascinating disciplines that people make money from that people are excited to learn about. Some people are fascinated by learning. They're going into focus and learning, where do I focus my brain power? Some pilpuli halachas, lamdus, some midrashim, some piskei dinim, knowing halacha l'maisa. There's so much out there to be curious about. There's so much out there to read, to listen to, the podcast, the magazines, there's so much to be busy with. And there's so much that's so fascinating. He says, but very few people, ma'atim yu min ha-min hazeh, this sort of person, an intelligent, bright, curious person, ma'atim yu min ha-min hazeh, she-yikbu iyun v'limud al inyanei shleimus avoda. He says, you and I are in the minority. If you're actually coming out to learn Maseilas Yesharim, he says, we're not so common. Now, one might make the argument that Achshar Dara, perhaps Maseilas Yesharim and Avodas Hashem, and the study of Avodas Hashem in general, has had a resurgence. But there remains truth to what he says. He says, most people think Avodas Hashem isn't something I'm going to study seriously. Being more deeply from, growing. What sort of study? To be ma'ayin into shleimus avoda, into worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more perfect way, into avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, v'al kol shar chelki achasidus, all the other parts of chasidus. Again, the Ramchal lived in the early 1700s. When he says chasidus, he doesn't mean the Baal Shem Tov. This has nothing to do with how long or curly your payas are, or how furry the hat, or how long the rekel. I can be a chasid with or without that. He means chasidus in the sense that the Gemara used it, to go lefnim mishuras adin, to live ambitiously, to be spiritually ambitious. So he says, most people aren't investing a lot of brain power into this. He says, why? And not that they think that it isn't important to be a good Jew, not that they think it isn't important to have Avas Hashem and to be connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, Tishalem, they'll certainly say, it's Iker Gadol. He says, plenty of religious people, plenty of firm people, bright people, and they would tell you, of course this is important. But they said, Rov Pirsum Hadvarim Upshitusam Etzlam. It's so obvious. Yeah, of course you gotta be firm, of course you gotta be a good guy, of course you gotta do the right things. But you know, and I know what to do. I know what to do. You know, there's the Mesil Sharm you have in front of you is half of the Mesil Sharm I have in front of me, I'm guessing. The classic Mesil Sharm that's been published since the 1700s, that comes in an introduction in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, the classical Mesil Sharm, it was discovered a couple of decades ago that it's the second version of Mesil Sharm that Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto wrote. In the 1980s, Rav Avram Shoshana, in the 1990s, Rav Avram Shoshana, who's a Talmud Chacham in Tells in Cleveland, was very involved in publishing manuscripts. See, he was invited to Russia as the Soviet Iron Curtain began to melt and thaw. He was invited to Russia to take a look at a series of manuscripts of Sfarim that had been in the Baron Ginsburg Library in Leningrad. And it was, he describes it as an incredible moment. Things were still very tense. And he was looking at Sfarim that no one had looked at in decades, since before the Soviet Revolution. And the first one that he published was an earlier version of Mesil Sharm. He says he's looking at this, he recognized it was written in the Ramchal's own handwriting. This was the author's copy. And it was Mesil Sharm, but it wasn't Mesil Sharm. Because as he began to read further, he recognized it, but it was written not as Perek Aleph and Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, but it was written as a conversation. A conversation between two figures, a Chacham and a Chassid. Someone who's smart, and someone who's profoundly frum, someone who's spiritually ambitious. And most of the Sefer is more or less the same as the Prakim that we have in Mesil Sharm. And, you know, the Chacham will ask a one-line question, and the Chassid will give a three-paragraph answer, and the next three paragraphs of Mesil Sharm. But it's the beginning, it's the opening where there's a real difference. Because the manuscript version, which in this edition appears as Mesil Sharm Aleph, Mesil Sharm version 1, it opens by profiling a Chacham. A brilliant fellow, firm fellow, always insatiably curious, all these interests in learning, interests beyond learning, Torah, Mada, the list that the Ramchal just, that we saw he listed in Mesil Sharm. And he says he's always, this Chacham, he's curious about people as well. He's curious about learning, he's curious about Midrashim, about Halacha, about Gemara, curious about science and technology, all sorts of things. And he's curious about people. He's curious about psychology and sociology. And he's so curious. He sees there's a group in his town of Hasidim, of very religious people, very pious people. And they always seem to have these like little Musar Sfarim with them. And he wonders, like, what do they find in these little Sfarim that's so intriguing? He says, I'm such a curious person. What could there be? Doesn't seem like there's such intellectual substance. He's always curious. He wishes he could, interview one of these people. Or bring him into the lab and dissect him, so to speak, and find out what makes him tick. And then one day, this Chacham is walking down the street. That's the way the Ramchal tells the story in the opening of the manuscript version of the Sefer. This Chacham is walking down the street, and he sees that coming the other direction towards him is one of these Chassidim. And then as they get closer, he recognizes this Chassid is a childhood friend of his. They were in elementary school together. So they're so excited to see each other, so much to catch up on. And after a few minutes, the Chacham realizes, one second, here's my chance. Here's our real live chassid sitting here. I can interview, I can ask him all my questions. And he starts in a very condescending way. Ramchal was a master writer. He was a poet, he was a playwright, in addition to being an extraordinary Talmud Chacham and a Kabbalist, a fascinating background. And in the manuscript version, so the Chacham at first seems like a little condescending, patronizing. It's like, oh, says the Chassid, oh, like, tell me, what do you study? I'd love to know what you do. And so the Chassid says, sure, we'd glad to tell you. I'm curious, but tell me, what are you busy with? And this condescending Chacham is like, oh, like you would never understand this. Like, I'm involved in all sorts of like high-level issues. You don't have the intellectual background for it. You don't have the hachshara for it. So the Chassid is like, oh, okay, I understand. I'm not as smart as you. So maybe you can explain to me a little bit. Give me sort of a basics. Give me some basic topics. And the Chassid, it soon becomes clear, is far more. He's far more humble than the Chacham, clearly. He's at least as intelligent as the Chacham, and he has a far keener sense of human nature. And he sort of draws the Chacham in, and he's playing with this Chacham. The Chacham's like, yeah, I'm involved in this, I'm involved in that, and this safer, and that safer, and this field, that field. And he says, tell me what you're involved with in learning. And then the Chacham, the Chassid, turns to the Chacham very innocently and says, oh, that's fascinating. 1,000 tshuvos that you've read in Hilchos Sukkah. And how about Avodas, how about Avas Hashem? You ever study that? He says, well, Chacham says, well, of course I believe in Avas Hashem. That's really important. He says, great. You spend time studying it? I said, well, obviously not. Like, what's there to study? He says, you spend time in Yiras Hashem? Well, of course I believe in it. You've studied it? Well, what's there to study? And the Chassid says, well, yeah. He says, the basic. Of course, we all believe in the basics. Every decent religious person, every decent human being is going to have the basics of Midos Tovos. Every decent religious person is going to have the basics of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. He says, but there's much more there. There's much more depth. There's much more nuance. There's much more sophistication than just, yeah, I believe in Avas Hashem. Should be a good Jew. Let's think about how it plays out. Let's think about how you apply it. Let's think about what it means. Let's think about how we would actually define these things accurately. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to have Yiras Hashem? Are you supposed to be frightened? Theophobic? Are we bad Jews because we're not shivering? No, probably not. So there's a lot to study here. And if you want not only to understand the ideas in principle, but to actually live these things, how do I progress in my Avas Hashem? How do I progress in my Avoda? So there's a lot to study. Coming back to where we are right here, the same material presented differently, coming back into the classic Maseilas Yesharim, he says, you know, without the drama, without the story, without the character development, he gives it to us here in the classic Maseilas Yesharim in more abstract terms. He says that, you know, the Chacham that he just profiled, as he was saying, you know, bright, intelligent, bright, sharp, on the ball people tend to be curious about all sorts of things, but rarely about Avodas Hashem. And again, not because they think it's not important, but because they think there isn't much to study. You know, what's there to talk about? Basically, everyone knows, you gotta be a good Jew. And so he says, well, what ends up happening, Lo Yishar Limud HaDavar, I'm coming back into the Sefer. Lo Yishar Limud HaDavar Ma'ele Kriyas HaSvar Mizamin. So what ends up happening is the really bright people, the really intelligent people tend to not be busy studying Avodas Hashem. And so svarim of this sort tend to end up in the hands only of those who aren't as sharp, aren't the sharpest tool in the shed. He says, oh, and again, that was sort of the stereotype that the Chacham had in his mind. So the Chacham said, oh, you must not be capable of anything more. You don't have the intellectual firepower for something real, so instead you're busy with your muster. Ramchal writes here, it's a sad commentary that you see someone really throw himself into the Avodas Hashem, and you say, oh, he must not be so bright, he must not be so smart, because we have this sort of false dichotomy. That Avodas Hashem isn't deep. Avodas Hashem isn't. There's no intellectual sophistication. So that's what you're busy with. Yeah, you don't have the tools. You don't have the mental tools for anything more. And he says, this sorry social state, creates the following problem. Tolus haminig hazeh ra'os ma'od l'chachamim u'levilti chachamim. But what the consequence of this reality? It's terrible on both sides. For those who are very intelligent and those who are not. Because goreim sheme'ela ume'ela yechzer chassidus ha'amiti, real, profound, authentic ambition of Avodas Hashem, it tends to be rare on all sides. Because yechzer min ha'chachamim limit iyunim bo, yechzer ma'bilti ha'chachamim limit hasagasam oso. The people who are really intelligent aren't putting in the work to understand it. The people who aren't as gifted, they may be putting in the work, but they don't have the capability. And here Ramchal comes to this key point that's going to be the major assertion, the major thesis of the Hakdama, is that in fact, Avodas Hashem is a profound, sophisticated intellectual discipline. This is something that requires real work. This is something that requires a PhD, as it were, in its own right. I can have the basics, but there's so much to study and so much to learn. And that's where he's going to be. He's very soon going to come around to begin to develop that. But before he gets to that, and we're really going to be focused on that point largely next time, he says, but let's just appreciate that what this means. L'masa. He says, I want you to realize this first practical point is that what you think of as being profoundly frum, what you think of as being spiritually ambitious, being religiously ambitious, being a chassid, again with a lowercase ches, as it were, not necessarily Baal Shem Tov chassidus, but of whatever flavor, whatever color, but being a chassid, in Chazal sense of the term, being a spiritually ambitious person, l'fnei mishur ha'din, I want to grow, our sense of what it means to be a growing person is often very off because of what he just said. The chachamim aren't busy investing their mental capacity into figuring this out deeply, and the people who are tend to be the people who don't have the kalim to really understand it. He says, you know what happens? So many people have this like distorted idea of what does it look like to be deeply from. Actually, yidmu rov bnei ha'adam, so many people think shechasidus, that being deeply religious, being deeply from, is totally about miras mizmar harbe. It's all about saying lav tehillim, vidui marukim, saying a lot of vidui. That's gone out of style over the centuries. Tzomos kashim, tevilos kerach v'shelag, lots of fasting and lots of tovelin, you know, dunking yourself into this is the ice bucket challenge of 300 years ago. There wasn't something cute that you passed on. This was like people practice serious asceticism. And to go roll in the snow, Gilgul B'Sheleg, in the winter, to afflict your body, people think that, so many people think that like being deeply frum is to deprive yourself. So again, 21st century of deprivation, this 21st century version of deprivation is different than what they did in the 1700s. It doesn't involve as much ice and snow and even fasting. But the point remains the same. Different levush, but same yesod. That we tend to often focus on the externals and the extreme things. That, oh, that's what being really from likes. And says, and he says, Ramchal says, Devarma sher ein haseichel nach behem, ve'ein hadas shokta. This doesn't sit well with my mind. It doesn't seem rational that this is what it means. This is the ideal Jew. And again, this is coming from a man who, according to his Talmidim, he had a chevra that he learned with. It ended up getting him into trouble. As a young, single Talmud Chacham, there was a group of medics. He grew up in Padua, where there was the only medical school in all of Europe in the early 1700s that admitted Jews. And so there was a group of extraordinary Jewish minds planning to become doctors and sitting and learning as well. And he became a member of the group and ultimately became very quickly became their Rebbe. And one of his Talmidim, who later became the Jewish doctor of Vilna, who had a relationship with the Vilna Gaon later in life. This young Talmud tells us in a letter that he sent to Germany that his Rebbe, the Ramchal, was having Gilui Eliyahu. A man who was intensely spiritual, as we're going to get a little taste of as we progress through Mesilas Yesharim. This profoundly spiritual man says, that's frumkeit? That's not rational. That's not reasonable. Frumkeit's all about just self-deprivation. He says, but if deep chassidus isn't studied properly, so then yeah, there'll be all sorts of distortions. Chassidus ha'amiti, and let's close with these final lines. Ha'chassidus will give us a taste of what's to come. Ha'chassidus ha'amiti, ha'nirza, ha'nechman, authentic frumkeit? Authentic spiritual ambition, the type that's desired, the type that's lovely, desired by us and desired by the Rebbe Shalom. What's that Kaddish Baruch Hu looking for? Rachak misir sechleinu. It's very far from what you're imagining. If you're imagining that it's all about self-deprivation, he says, "Milsa ramle deinish lava daite." He says, "It's clear if we stop to think about it." And here he names his thesis. Ava bishakvar kluim belev kol adam hayashar haschalosa viso dosif. In the heart of every decent, good person are the beginnings the first steps of spiritual ambition. Of course, the basics of midos tovos, the basics of avos Hashem. Be'im lo yasok behem, yir pratav lo akim. Yeah, we all have the basics, but we want more than just basics. We want to make this work. We want to make this work well. If I'm not going to work on it, then I'll come across the details. I won't even recognize them. Yavar lev lo yargish bam. The opportunities are staring me in the face. I don't even realize the gems is passing through my hands. And he goes on to say that there's so much to study. He said the basics are intuitive. The basics, but to advance avodas Hashem doesn't come automatically. It is there. It is accessible. And the first step is, again, and that's the point of his hakdama, it is accessible if we're willing to work hard first to understand it, to study it, and then to make it our own. And that's why you need the sefer. Because avodas Hashem is valuable, avodas Hashem is real, there's a tremendous amount of profundity and tremendous amount of intellectual sophistication. It's not all obvious, but we can learn it. And that's what we're going to do in Mirtz Hashem over the course of these Chaburos. Rav Osher, thank you so much. We will, Mirtz next week, continue with the second half of the Hakdama, and he's going to take us from this general appreciation that there's something here to study, and there's a lot here that we can learn if we're willing to invest into it, to begin to sketch out what is that, and what are the parts of Osher, and what do we need to study, and he's going to begin to lay out a blueprint for how we're going to proceed in this journey. Chaburos, thank you so much. Have a marvelous evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kotzkorn.
Thank you so much for joining. Both men and women are invited, both on Zoom and in person. Thank you.